Great, thanks, Tim. The word of the Lord that's just been released, receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Just a couple of things to say. I'll keep saying this over the course of the year, and I hope the campus pastors will do the same. Let's keep leaning into the prayer journal. Scroll over it, mark it, make it yours. Pray circles around, both in the church and also personally. And I really believe that this will be a marker, and you'll look back in 12 months' time and you'll see God at work. You'll see answers to prayer. So let me encourage you in that. Also, just on the back of what Alfie led us, and Annie encouraged us tonight, I was just last week, just took the opportunity over lunch to just have a little walk around Ilkeston, and I'd just read this verse in Psalm 5, verse 11, and it came to me again, and it blessed me as I was on the walk. It really just lived in me for that hour. And it says this: "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Whilst we all also declare who the Lord is, my confession tonight was, I love your name. I love your name. And those who love his name will have a song of praise, and there'll be joy that will well up within us. And may that be the true with every one of us tonight. Just before we launch into the handout some notes, can I just say also thanks to everyone for being here tonight. It's good to have a representation from all the campuses. We only do this twice a year. It gives the senior leadership team an opportunity to just speak to the core of the church. We know there's still lots of people who would normally be here but can't get here. There's lots of reasons why. But we're very grateful that you're here tonight. And I just encourage you, as you already have, just lean in and open up your heart. I also want to say a huge thank you to you for all that you do. You're here not just because we drew a ticket and thought, oh no, we'll invite Christine here tonight. You're here on purpose. Because you're actively involved in the life of the church and you're making a difference. And we want to say a huge thank you to every single one of you, both for what you we know you do, and there's lots of things what I'm mindful behind the scenes that goes unseen. So can I just say a huge thank you? I wonder if we could just put our hands together for all of us here tonight. Just terrific. Now, Eleanor and possibly somebody else can help on both sides to hand some notes out to you. It's not homework, it's not schoolwork. I'm not trying to treat you like children. It's just to help you, because I really want you to get what I'm about to speak into. And this is for you as a leader, and I really pray that it will be a blessing to you. I want to just say, I'll give you a chance to get them. I'll just give you a chance, because they're just handing the notes out, and I want you to get the Bible verse in you. I should have thought this through a little bit easier, but just talk amongst yourselves just while that happens. Just while you're taking your notes, don't go to page 6, and don't be freaked out by the amount of notes that there are, because we'll work through this in the time allotted. I hope everybody's got the notes. Just something triggers in me as well, nothing to do with the notes. It's interesting that I at Nottingham, we had a great time for those who came, and we celebrated and worshipped God, and it was my joy to lead prayer. And we just encouraged people to really reach out in healing. And interestingly, I've heard Phil mention this a couple of times as well. Something's bubbling and stirring. And Steve won't mind me saying this, but Steve just came to me afterwards and said, I had tremendous issues with my shoulder and really couldn't lift it. And I felt God touch me, and I'm really got a release and is there. So we thank God for that, don't we? And we're going to continue. It was at pains to say it's only a small thing. It isn't a small thing, because when you're in pain with something, it's a big thing. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. So we thank God for that. And in every location, we're going to believe that God is going to do it. It's God's work, and it's God's glory that we want to seek. So you've got the notes. It says core team. And on the front, it uses this phrase, we get to. Let me just take you on a journey for these next few minutes that I've got with you. In Psalm 69 and verse 9, it says, the zeal for your house consumes me. In John in chapter 2, when Jesus was removing the money changers from the temple, the disciples were reminded of this verse. And they too said, oh, we remember that the Lord said, the zeal for his house consumes us. It says in the Passion Version, I love this, my love for you has my heart on fire. My passion for your house consumes me. Nothing will turn me away, even though I endure all the insults of those who insult you. This is a really important verse for people who love God and love the church. And I tried to give a little bit of definition to it. And this was my summing up of these verses as I delved in deeper into it. And I didn't want to give you a Hebrew lesson for the Hebrew version. But this is, in essence, I hope you encapsulates and you captures some of the heart of this verse. This love for God and his bride produce a passion, a zeal. It's like the deep feelings of envy and jealousy that create an intense emotion, a compulsion, and it's a zeal for God's house, his kingdom, and it consumes us. It eats us up. That word consume means to eat up. We become overwhelmed. We become consumed. I don't know whether you can capture the intensity of that verse. The zeal for God's house consumes us. Now, what I wanted to do was try and frame that verse, and you're going to hear that verse over this year, because what I want to do is I want to just give you our word for the year. It's not a word for the year, it's a phrase for the year. And I tried to encapsulate this thought that I've just shared with you, to frame this thought into a three-word phrase that's easy to remember and difficult to forget. Because I want things to be easy to remember and difficult for you to forget. And I'm going to use the whiteboard to just help me. And I think you already know what it is, but this is our phrase, our thought for the year. We get to. We get to. Now, often, and you may say, that doesn't seem very impressive. What are you talking about? I'll unpack it, because I really believe it's going to grab hold of every one of us. Those who have a heart that's open and those who have a heart for this church. Often we do things in church, and many churches that I come across, they have people who do this. They say, we have to. Basically what they're saying is, the pastor's told us, so we have to. We have to do it. And in some ways, there's obedience that happens. There's some things that we may not agree with. I get that. But this is all too familiar in some churches. They never live out of the we get to. They just live out of the we have to. Do you understand? Or even worse, we've got to, because he's told us, or she's told us. So we have to, and we've got to. But what we're talking about tonight is that we get to. Let me just give you some thoughts around this phrase, examples. We get to worship. And when I say we get to, there's an excitement, there's a passion, there's just a sense of anticipation that we get to. We're coming into the house of God and we sense that God is amongst us, and boy oh boy, we get to be in the house of God. We get to worship. For those who are leaders, we get to lead. It's a privilege to lead. It really is. I come across many pastors, they're not just reluctant as in stepping in, they're fed up, they've had enough of them. Phil used to pastor them in his area role, his national role for many years. You know, there were many people, I'm going to draw them in, they were literally living out of that. We've got, in some ways, they had nothing else to do. There was no passion, there was no joy. There was no sense of thrill in their leadership. I want to say, for those who are leaders, and you're all leaders, we get to lead. By the way, 21 days, we get to pray. I know it was all a gulp when we hit January the 2nd and we're in a prayer and fasting season. We could see all those McVitie's chocolate biscuits winking at us and those M&S selection collections. Ooh. But, you know, we get to pray. We get to fast. We get to be in groups. We get to gather. I know you've come out on a cold, dark night, but we get to gather. We get to give. We get to be in a team. Those are in teams. We get to be in a team. We get to read the Bible. We get to walk with God intimately. We get to fellowship. We get to live in freedom. We get to live in peace. We get to love and be loved. I hope you're getting the idea. I hope you're getting the passion. And this is what this psalm was saying in Psalm 69. The zeal for your house consumes me. We get to do these things. And it's a wonderful, wonderful place. I would love our word or phrase for the year to somehow gather some pace, and I've talked about this over many years, to almost have a spiritual campaign in the life of the church. What do I mean by that? That actually our language is, we get to do this. And it becomes a spiritual quest. We just have a joy. And why can't we get some t-shirts that says we get to? Why can't we get some hoodies that says we get to? Why can't we get some caps? Or we'd love to see Phil in a cap on the stage. He's never going to have a cap. But we get to. You know, car stickers. You get the thought. And who knows, some people might be able to help us with some of that. But we get to. What I'm talking about, it takes me back really to the beginnings of just arriving here and just working things through in the life of the church. And it's a very different day, and some of you were here, very few of you were here at the time, and I was just coming in, and I was a young buck then, Tim, and just coming in and just with fresh ideas, and Neil could remember it certainly, and something began to happen in the life of the church, and Phil arriving, he was sharing, and we built on that, and things began to happen as the church responded to this phrase of, we get to. It was with joy and it was with excitement as we partnered with God and as we partnered with one another. It was a real joy, Emma, to be able to just be in the house of God with people like you. It wasn't something that we was dragging along. There was just an ease to it. And why am I saying all this? Because I really believe that God wants to get us back to that place again. Because in the we get to, there's an ease. Can I take us back to the last core team meeting? There is a momentum that comes. We go from movement into momentum. And when momentum comes, boy, oh boy, you just got to keep fueling it. You just need the wind on your back. And in that momentum, I want to tell you, this phrase lives. We get to. We get to. If we're going to see God come, as we want to in every location, if we want to see God come in every ministry, if we want to see God come in our towns and cities and communities, it's from a people who say, we get to. And by the way, we only say we get to because of what we was led in, because of what he did, we get to. Because of what he has accomplished, we get to. Because of what he sacrificed, we get to. And sometimes we can lose the passion, and sometimes we can forsake our first love. And I want to encourage us all to live out of the we get to. And so what I want to do is, in the next few weeks, we're really going to unpack this loads more, because it's going to be our phrase for the year. But I just want to speak, if I may, just for three areas, because I think these are really things that we need to contend for, be heightened to, be alerted to. And the first one is worship. Can I make this, say this phrase? We get to worship. We get to worship. And it's interesting that This is one area that we always are having to contend with. We may go take you down that route, but I think one of the reasons being, and I haven't got time to unpack it, is the very thing that Satan was tasked with in heaven. It's the very thing that he wants from, I mean, come on, he asked Jesus himself to bow down and worship him. He desires for worship. And that's why he will contend with us. Sometimes when we come into worship gatherings, it hasn't been like that in recent days because we've just stepped into something. I really believe that. But sometimes you do have to contend, and you've got to contend in worship. And I do want to spiritualize it because sometimes spiritual dark forces are trying to stop the people of God to praise because he wants it over to him. Does this make sense? And we've got to remind ourselves we get to worship. Can I just say a huge thank you to all the worship guys? Can I say you have been absolute, you are the goats. I'm now into that. The greatest of all time. Okay. When I used to think, what is the goat? Why did they keep putting this picture of the goat? I had to ask our Isaac, what does the goat mean? And then he told me. But you really are. I want to say that because we've been stretched. We released, you know, just before COVID and then coming out of it. And, you know, numbers of people didn't want to come back on team. There's lots of reasons why. And that's not a criticism, by the way, I'm saying that. It's just the fact. And we were stretched, and we still are. But there's a sound that they've leaned into. There's a we get to attitude within that team. Can I say a huge thank you to the sound guys? Some of you have filled in, particularly in Mansfield. Chris Calabu, who's not here, Chris stepped in. It hasn't always been the easiest journey. I remember 3 weeks into it, and all we heard was, as I'm preaching, and lots of people would be kicking off. I wasn't, because I got it. He'd stepped in with a great attitude. And by the way, if you ever go to Mansfield, he has a great attitude. He carries himself really well. And guys, I appreciate you who carry yourself well, because this is so, so important. I like the fact that this team, and I am singling them out, is there's an application, there's a dedication, there's a surrenderedness to the vision of Arena Church, not just to God. And they carry a we get to in worship. Now, I say all this because the sound of the house is going to be crucial, is crucial, and will be crucial in the days ahead. It's wonderful that Annie, our worship pastor, and keeps encouraging us to raise the praise. She does know that actually that wasn't new to her. I went back to it today, Phil. 12 years ago, January, February in 2011, we did a series on Raise the Praise. If you want to listen to it, you just need to look into the podcast. Just look at January and February 2011, and you'll hear Phil and I unpack a series called Raise the Praise. We encourage the church then to raise the praise. We're encouraging you now, we've come full circle. Can you raise the praise? Because we need to raise the praise to God. We need to come with an attitude of we get to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we understand there's a power in the people of God coming together and praising. Yes, we can worship God in our living rooms. Yes, we can worship God in our bedrooms. We proved it over COVID, but there's a power when the people of God come together and gather in the name of Jesus. And as we worship God together, something happens. I can't even quite explain it, but something happens. Annie sent me an email. And I am going to say, because you know she's my daughter, but it was her reflections to me as a pastor. And she wanted to just get some things off her chest. And I was pleased. And I'm going to read it verbatim. She says, I feel like we've hijacked the word loud. Being loud for loud's sake is off-putting, but raising up a shout, a loud shout of praise draws people and Jesus in. We've hijacked something that is actually biblical and made it bad. I know some of you here, you've had some challenges with the sound and whatever. I'm not wanting to draw attention to you or draw attention to that. The fact is we want to try and get some of those things settled with better equipment. And I'll come on to that in a reason. There's some reasons why we can't. and we're on it, we're monitoring it. But the fact remains, I just need you to know, we're going to forever raise a shout. Oh, there's about four of you. We're going to forever raise a shout. We're not trying to be loud for loud sake. We want to raise a shout of praise. We want to raise the praise to God. Patrick, our Toulouse campus pastor, encouraged us last year, if you remember. He sent something out and he shared into this a roar of worship. A lion's roar isn't quiet, it's loud. And as we continue to praise the enemy, he said, the enemy will be reminded that we are a people of praise and worship. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5, but I'm just going to read a verse. It says, lift up a great shout to God. Go ahead and do it. Everyone, everywhere. Have you got it? A great shout. Everyone, everywhere. Worship God with gladness. Sing your way into his presence with joy. I'm saying all this. You may be saying, Christian, I'm already in the choir. I'm already converted. We all need to be reminded. We get to worship. It's a powerful weapon that we have as the people of God individually and as the church of God collectively. And I love it. This, the thought of worship and praise to God is from an exuberance, is from a depth. It's not trying to be clever. We're not trying to put a show on here. We never want to do that. There's something deep within our heart that wants to praise the Lord. And I was reminded, writing this, I was reminded of Jesus going into Jerusalem and the Pharisees rebuked the disciples and they told them to be quiet. And Jesus replied, quiet, if they are quiet, the very stones will cry out in praise to me. Even Jesus was making the point, there's a time to worship, there's a time to praise. Am I too loud for you tonight? Great. We've got to contend and we've got to fight in this area of worship, and we get to worship. And by the way, guys, whilst we're in different locations, we have different leaders, we must maintain a unity in worship. We have to contend for unity all the time. We have to defer and prefer. We have to lay down, and I appreciate many of you have done that. And thank you for the sake of the kingdom, because many don't. We want to forever be aligned in worship, but also aligned in life. And because if we're not aligned, we're disjointed. And that's why it's important that every location, whilst being different, there's an alignment. When we walk in, there's a shout of praise. There might be 25 people in Belper. There might be 20 people in Nottingham. There might be 15 in the Hub. And there might be hundreds in Ilkeston and Mansfield. But the same raise of praise is there. Raise the praise is there. You get it? It's not about the numbers. Because we get to worship. Now, let me quickly just say this, because this is really important. Joy and privilege and delight of worship. Well, what I've realized is this. As I've worshiped God, we have to decide, are we going to live out of the facts or are we going to live out of feelings? I don't know whether it's in your note, but which one are you? Are you facts or feelings? Are you going to allow the moment, the circumstances to lead the way? I'm not going to inflict this on you, but I had a song in my heart. I was just writing this. It's good old Roly Cannoli, I used to call him. Ron Cannoli. Anybody remember Ron Cannoli? Anybody remember Ron Cannoli? Just give me a wave. He was, well, yeah, Roly Cannoli, I used to call him. Wonderful. This is what he says. It doesn't depend on my circumstance, the strength of my arm or my voice. It doesn't depend on the way I feel. I've made up my mind and I'm going to rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice, for I've made a choice to rejoice in the Lord. If anybody don't know that song, you need to get it on Spotify. It's a cracker. It still lives today. I want to tell you, what are you going to live on? Are you going to live on your circumstance? Are you going to live by how you feel? Well, clearly, there's a man who wrote this song who said, no, 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 I'm going to rejoice. And that is why we have to contend in worship. It doesn't matter what is going on. We get to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Because of time, I won't go all the way through them. I just thought, I'm going to get some quotes on worship and praise. There's some crackers in there. Matt Redman. This is what he says. Matt Redman, who's wrote some amazing songs, he says this: in worship, God captures your heart. And when he's got it, then the real work begins. Dr. Jack Hayford, and if he was at the last all-in that we had over in Mansfield, Phil referenced him because he was the writer of Majesty. And we all know that where it was going to go, Julie had gone to the Delirious song, and Phil and I, we were very much on the same page in that moment of Dr. Jack Hayford. Majesty, that one, okay? But this is what he's just recently passed away. And he says this, God gives us worship so that we might become partners in his highest purposes. Oswald Chambers, a prophet of God from another era, said this, worship is giving God the best that he has given to you. And now about Jesus. Jesus said, you worship me, worship what you don't know. But the hour is coming and the now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That beats all the other quotes, what Jesus said there. And do you get the feeling of, we get to worship. Come on, worship my Father. Come on, worship the Son, because we're worthy of praise. Secondly, and Phil will be really pleased. I always feel quite good when I do these, because I know that Phil secretly likes this. I've got another W, work. Work. What am I going to say? We get to, come on, everybody with me. We get to work. Serving God is a joy. Now, it is. So what stops us? Because frankly, we've still got people Christ has done a great work in their life. I'm not being judgmental or critical, but there's some reasons why they don't engage in the work of God. Now, there's some real reasons. I'm putting those to one side, but there's some of the reasons that they'll bring up. But let me just identify them. First of all, laziness. People don't engage in work in the kingdom of God because, frankly, they're too lazy. We've got to shake it off. I know this is a bit tough now. You've had the nice bit. Now this is the meat, and then we'll go to the other part of the sandwich. I've been told you have to encourage people. Isn't that right, Dave? Give them a nice bit, then give them a nice bit. Okay. If you ever want to go counseling, that's how Dave will do it. He'll give you the nice, and then, okay, and then it's, anyway. Work. Work. We were just referencing another generation. I'm not being critical of younger guys, because many of you do know how to work, but it does seem to be, if you generalize the generations, there's a generation that knows how to work. Yeah. And the younger generations don't know how to work as well. I want to say that shouldn't be the case in the kingdom of God. Guys, we need to work. Yeah. We need to serve. Yeah. And our laziness, we've just got to shake it off. I wrote in there, there's a verse in Ephesians where Paul reminds, he says to the church, wake up, O sleeper. Wake up, O sleeper. I love Proverbs. You know I do. And he often references the ant, the industry of the ant. What the Proverbs is saying is, look at the ant. They're so industrious. They'll get at it. They'll work. They're not just dreaming. They'll make things happen. I want to encourage you, if that is you, to shake off. And encourage people to shake off the laziness. And as we come out, we still feel like we're coming out of somewhere. People went in some deep holes over COVID. And I've said, whilst we've got people coming back, they're not coming back to serve. Well, you are, because you're here, but there's still a group of other people who haven't come back to serve. And I don't think it's possible, it may be just for a little season, but it's not possible to say for a long, long, long time, I'm part of that church and I don't get involved. Secondly, our misguided priorities and motives. This is a huge one. And let me make this statement. Sometimes they need redeeming. Can I ask you, where are your... I'm going to ask you now. I have to ask this. Where are my motives? Where are my priorities? I'm not saying you can't have a life outside of church and you can't enjoy the leisure and social, but it just seems like we've gone, the pendulum's just swung the other side. And I'm going to use this word, you've been sabotaged. And Jesus addresses this when he says there are people who've been consumed and concerned with other things, the cares of worldly things, thorns and thistles. If you're more interested in your career, your job, your bank balance, your leisure activities than God's kingdom, then I just want to encourage you to probably just take a moment, a day, to just think and reflect and meditate. Because it could well be that you're actually misguided and you're actually being sabotaged. I was reading, because I'm going through the Bible in a year, and I've just made a decision. I've not done it for a number of years, but I'm going to go, I'm doing it this year. And it's interesting. I've just read recently, you know, that thought where a large crowd came to him. It's in your notes. And somebody said, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay." He wasn't saying you can't have a house. And then another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the buried dead bury their own dead." What he was basically saying is he was addressing priorities and motives. He wasn't saying you shouldn't go and bury those people. Please, if you've ever read that, I thought, that's a horrible statement. He was addressing motives. He was addressing priorities. And I just want to encourage you to think about your priorities. And thirdly, in our work, why don't we work? Well, our hearts become hard. And I get this. And most pastors, if they're really honest, and we are an arena church, and for those who've been in the trenches for some time, we have to guard ourselves particularly against this. Because life, its bumps, its cuts, its bruises, can lead to a root of bitterness. We have had bad experiences, and you may have too. You've had bad experiences, a lack of gratitude, nobody ever says thank you. And if you allow those things to go unchecked, it will only lead you one way, into a place of bitterness. And by the way, there was only one leper that returned and said thank you. We have to continue to allow our hearts to be soft, allow His love and compassion to flow from heaven to us. That's for me why worship is so important. I'm not apologizing to you. There's often times I'll God speaks to me, And it will often lead to me to be quiet, not emotional, but just tearful. And usually it's because I'm holding something that God's just dealing with me. Because something's happened in the week or in the month, or I've heard a statement or whatever. And that's why worship, it just softens my heart. Because without it, honestly, I would be a really, really hard pastor. Really hard-nosed. This lady's worked for me. I would be very, very, in another era, I would be very hard-nosed. Okay. We need our hearts to become soft. Serving God is not a burden but a blessing. Let me just give a few examples to this. And I am being not loaded on for purpose. I'm just trying to give you some context till we get to worship, because I think this pendulum's gone one way and we just need to be drawn in. There was not so many years ago where people would be out 2 or 3 nights a week. Now, I'm not saying we're going to get back to there, but it seems like if we bring out for one night, there's an issue. Guys, we're doing this. Are we going to extend the kingdom of God unless we just lean in and just do what we need to do? In Ilkeston, before we had all the other locations, we had Sunday at 9, Sunday at 11, and then oftentimes Sunday at 6. That was before we even went to Mansfield. And we've got out the practice. And we love quoting St. Augustine, because I've heard loads of you do it from the prayer journal. Pray like everything depends on God and work like everything depends on you. Get the second part. Because if we're not careful, all we do is we just focus on the first part. Now, let me be clear. I'm not saying we have to work away to God. I'm not saying it's all about, we need to pray. But we also need to work. And that means, oftentimes, we're rolling up our sleeves and getting involved. And I had the joy of just being away in a monastery for 2 days. And I was praying through these things. And I really genuinely felt the Lord say to me about this above statement from St. Augustine. And this is all he basically said to me. He says, if you will encourage the church to pray like everything depends on God, so keep deepening that well of prayer and get people working like everything depends on them, we, in equal proportions, we will see incredible growth. I felt the Lord say it to me. So that's why I'm saying it to you. We get to work. It's not a dirty word. We get to work. We need people who are going to help us in hospitality, and with food and special events and admin and community. I remember bringing a big challenge to some of these younger guys who are, some of you here tonight. I said, this is the big ask. We go and ask your employer to release you for a day a week because we need some help in the offices. And they did that. And God blessed them and God blessed us. And they were prepared to work and get involved. And in essence, I suppose that's what I'm saying again. Can those remember when we used to take the bank holidays and we used to say, guys, we're going to do something really brilliant on bank holiday. We're going to paint the building. Now, Neil was always fretting because everybody were painting who couldn't paint. And then he used to go around afterwards because he's an absolute perfectionist. He would say he isn't, but he is. And he was saying, look at the mess there. And if you're one of them, well, yeah, you need to have a word with him. Okay, but the point is we would give our bank holidays to work. And anybody who was there, we had a whole load of fun, didn't we? I did, slapping the paint on the walls. Yeah, I know, exactly. I'm not saying we're going to do that. I'm just saying that was when we had one building, Julie. Now we have many buildings. And we need people who are just going to say we get to quickly. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I've heard that quoted recently. It's interesting, it doesn't say we will love the Lord. It says we will serve the Lord. Is this challenging and encouraging all at the same time? Serving flows from love. God doesn't want you to serve, you want you serving Him only because you are supposed to. He wants you serving Him because you love Him. I want to tell you, look at me, everybody look at me. I serve God because I love Him. I love Him. And I want His kingdom to be expressed well. Because that always means practical stuff. And I'm willing to get involved because I really want the kingdom of God to advance. Because the zeal for God's house, it consumes me. And not because I'm the pastor, it's always consumed me. It's always consumed me. Thirdly, the third W. Our wealth. You may say, well, I'm off the hook because I ain't got any. Whatever you have is given from God, and we don't need to go down the route that we the most blessed people if we live here, because there's billions of people who don't have what we have. The point I wanted to make is this. In this thought of wealth, we get to give, we get to sow, we get to invest. Now, I've been, as I just draw it to a close, there's been a personal prayer of these 21 days for me and my family, but also for you and your families in this third one of wealth, of giving. I've been praying that the Lord would bless you, that the Lord would give to you, the Lord would help you in your finances and your families. And I've also been praying for us collectively as a church. I say that because we, and it's no secret, we continue to work through numbers of challenging issues of a deficit, particularly in the community, increased costs, increased need, a greater reach across the six locations. And for me, at the back end of last year, it felt like it was just mountains. Let me just say, mountains of debt, mountains of lack, mountains of fear that was facing Arena Church. And I was reminded by Pastor Mark Batterson, who actually brought this word to our church in 2021, to speak to the mountain. So I've been speaking to the mountain where I've seen those things. I've been speaking in faith, abundance. I've been speaking supply. I've been speaking provision, and I've been speaking courage. I encouraged a few people who stand with us in prayer, and thank you for standing with us. And Jeanette, I haven't asked for it, but I know she'll be happy for me to do so. And if she hasn't, tough, I'm doing it, okay? She sent me a word. It wasn't personal to me. It was for the church. And she shared a word in moving forward. We were all the pastors and teams are together. This was the word of the Lord. Don't be intimidated by the bombastic mountains around you. They stand arrogantly tall, and they have done in my life. But watch. Fix your eyes on Jesus, and you will see them level before you by the mighty right arm of the Lord. The bright horizon view of the hidden landscape that was shaded by the high places is appearing, and once again it is becoming visibly clear and rolling. I am the mountain leveler, says the Lord. No longer will your vision be impaired. You will see with strong eyes of faith to establish my kingdom rule in your land. Look up and look around. Your view is about to become clear and your perspective is about to change. Isaiah 2:14, he will level all the high mountains and all the lofty hills. He will break down every high tower and every fortified wall. I am believing that we are going to see what has been prophesied here in this word. And it will come about through many reasons, many ways, but one of the reasons is we all join together with a get to. We get to give. We leverage what we have. And all I pray is for our church, and I wonder if you join with me. I don't know whether this is in your notes. And we can talk more about this if you want, but this is what I've been praying over. Julie, this is what I've been praying. That our reserves over the two charities will be £250,000. They're presently around £40,000 to £50,000. That's what we run off. I'm being very transparent. They're all in the accounts. We need that kind of money because it will enable us to do so much more. I have never been, nobody can ever accuse me of storing up money. Nobody can ever accuse that of me. Okay. We will always want to serve the community. I don't even have to lease it. Or some of you, we've always sought to do that, and we always will. So please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. But that reserve just enables us to actually move quickly when opportunities come. I'm praying that our mortgage will be paid off. I think we've got a mortgage of around $450,000, $500,000. You'd say, I'd love my mortgage to be paid off. Well, so would I. But I'm committed to seeing the church. And it's not a selfish prayer, but as we walk through, I want to be able to leave this church in the hands of guys who are pretty much debt-free. Yeah, amen. That they have then an opportunity to actually go further than we've been able to go to. And we have an investment in that. I want to make sure that the present staff are taken care of. Is this okay? I don't want anybody to be uncomfortable. I'm just letting you know this is what I've been praying into, in that we get to. I want the present staff to be taken care of. But I'd also like, God, this has been my prayer, with release, we get to bring our wealth and just release it to us because we need to make some new staff appointments. Children, students, seniors, to name a few. Every one of those three areas has the potential to explode in God. And we just need some resources. Buildings and facilities improvements. Every location, without question, needs some improvements. We want to establish the new locations. So we actually pour in resource into those locations that we've newly established. And lastly, can I just remind you that God has not called us just to the 5 or 6, and we're not going to go, we can't go yet. We need the Lord to help us, but our heart and our vision is to extend and plant again and again and again. I thought that I'd raise an amen, but nobody gave me an amen. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The vision to expand and extend and plant again and again and again. Amen. Across this East Midlands, I am very aware, acutely aware of where I am with time, but the Lord, while I was away, I was praying about 200 people, first-time decisions, and praying around some of this. You know how you get it, and you know it's the Lord, and the Lord just whispered in my ear, what about the 5.2 million people that live in East Midlands? I was just in a quiet moment of just looking out on where I was in this little room, just looking out, and I was enjoying myself, and I thought, why has the Lord just had to really affect my meditations? Because I was having a really nice time, because it really affected me, Sharon, it really did. Because I thought, well, what does he want me to do about that? And I felt the Lord just encouraged me to write this down. What would you have me to do about that 5.2 million people? I'm just bringing it before you, because I have no answers at the moment, but I know he said it on purpose. What he's trying to say is it's not just about the little locations that we've got. What about the 5.2 million people that live in this East Midlands? That we can drive within 30 minutes and we can be touching them. What are we to do? I think the Lord's encouraging us as a church. Yeah. I can see it's freaking some of you out. What are we to do? Yeah. So I want to see these things come about and God help us And yes, we need more people, we need willing soldiers, but we need a greater depth of financial resources. Now, as I finish, some of you, even tonight, you was okay with point one, you was okay with point two, you're now a little agitated and a little annoyed by point three. And it seems to be that every time I mention this, it just creates that. I want to assure you, we will not endlessly talk about money, but we will talk about it. Because actually, money is not a money thing, it's a heart thing. It's a discipleship thing. And one of our board on our community, we was in a prayer meeting, some of the leaders last week, of both boards, and she really got stuck into, on the call, the Zoom prayer, I thought she did anyway. And she challenged us as leaders to look at what we were doing in the house of God. I want to tell you, as a result of that, I felt quickened in my heart, and I give, I tithe, I'm with you guys, but I thought, I need to look again. As a result of me looking again, I needed to make some adjustments. I needed to make some adjustments. They weren't big, but they were just some adjustments because I just forgot about something. And I was glad that she shared it. Because I don't want anything to stop the blessing of God and the flow through Arena Church. So some of you may need to look. What are you doing? Look again at the tithe. Look again at what you give. Because I want to, the Lord, I want this to be a priority in my life. And I believe He wants it to be in our church, and He wants it to take from something that we have to, or we've got to, but we get to. So these three areas start with us as a core team. Have you got it?
Yeah.
Worship, we have to contend for it. The work, we've got to lean in and get it, and others will follow and encourage others in. And with our wealth, we need to leverage it and to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. Joshua 3 verse 5, familiar verses, I think, to most of us. Joshua encouraged the people before God brought them into the land that He promised them. He said to Joshua, you need to encourage the people to consecrate themselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. We all want the amazing without the consecration. But if we will consecrate ourselves, the Lord will do amazing things. I love how Mark Batterson says it. He says this: consecration always ends in amazing. Consecration always ends in amazing. You can go to the Lord with that for your family, for your personal life. Consecration always ends in amazing. In your ministry and in your church and in your locations. I'm just simply asking us to come with just a renewed sense of joy and passion and purpose. I can't put that in you. Only God can do that as we pray. But as we pray, may God just stir something deeper in every one of our hearts that we no longer say, well, we have to or we've got to, but we get to. I wonder if the guys would just, Nathan, if you'd just come and play at the back, and we are through. So I've done really well. Not shot the time. The clock was on me, so that was good. I don't know whether you know that song, Here I Am, Wholly Available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. Here I am, wholly available. Okay, I need, well, let's stand to our feet. This is a song that I have sung many, many times. I'll just come in now, you're standing. This little song, and I'm right out of my comfort zone now because I'm going to lead you a cappella in a minute. This song I sung as a young lad. I don't know how many times I've sung it. Sometimes I've meant it. Sometimes I got caught up in the emotion of it. But I want to say something happened in my heart every time I sung it. It's a bit of an old thing, and we used to encourage people to come to the front. I'm not going to do that. It's a simple song. I'll give you the words, and then we'll sing the words. Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord. And I really just felt the Lord say to me, just as I was preparing, I want you to do it, Christian. I had a feeling it was going to go a cappella as well. Genuinely. I've been practicing it. I was even practicing it coming down here. I just had a sense it's going to go a cappella, this is. Which is right out of my comfort zone. Anyway, all I know is, if we'll just sing it through and we'll make it our prayer, something's going to happen. You might feel it, you might not feel it, but something's, if you mean it, something's going to happen. But what will happen is it will affect the way that we live and affect the way that we approach life and the church. Let me say this, some of you definitely do need to sing it as a prayer of consecration coming back, because it may be that you are one who has actually forsaken your first love. And God's just wanting to draw you back without any condemnation, without any forcing, just saying, come back to me.